In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The voice of John roared over the face of the Jordan. Prepare the way of Yahweh. Make his path straight. The Jordan. This is where Israel followed the Ark of the Covenant into the Promised Land. This is where the prophet Elisha told Naaman the leper to be washed 7 times. This is where John now stands, proclaiming the Christ, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John, the Baptist. Clearly, Baptist wasn't John's denomination. On the contrary, John proclaims a baptism that's all too Lutheran, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, the scriptures say. As that plain old river water washed over sinners' heads, so did the absolution of the Lord. And as the plain old water from the baptismal font washed over your head, so did the grace of our Heavenly Father. Our earthly fathers despised God's gifts in the desert. And so for 40 years, he made them wander in circles until they all fell down. An entire generation of corpses strewn in the desert. Think twice before despising Yahweh's gifts, be it baptism through the Red Sea or baptism through the church's font, be it manna from heaven or the manna of Christ's body and blood. To despise the good gifts of Yahweh is to ask for a death sentence in the desert. A death sentence that a man named Naaman almost got. We who are children of Abraham by the faith, but Gentiles by the flesh, would do well to learn from this Gentile called Naaman, who nearly walked away from the Jordan and from the gift of God's grace. The prophet Elijah pointed Naaman to the waters of the Jordan. There your leprosy will be bathed away. Wash yourself 7 times. There you will be healed. But Naaman, he just looked at that river and scoffed. How can plain old river water do such great things? And he turned his back. Repent, John the Baptist cries. Repent, lest you be like those who perished in the wilderness. Repent, lest you despise God's gifts and scoff at his salvation. For though God's gifts may look foolish to you, the foolishness of God is greater than all men's wisdom. And indeed, God has chosen the foolish things of the world in order to shame those who would rather trust in their own wisdom. So it is that John the Baptist himself embodies God's foolishness. Here stands the greatest of all preachers, the forerunner of the Messiah himself. And what is he wearing? He's clothed in camel's hair. What is he eating? Grasshoppers and honey. And soon enough, this very same John will have his ministry cut short when his head is chopped off at the whim of a dancing girl. But this foolishness that is John the Baptist is greater than the wisdom of men. For on Jordan's bank, the Baptist cries, announcing that the Lord is nigh. The Lord has come for his people. Yahweh has come for you. When he led Israel out of the wilderness of death, through the Jordan, and into the promised land, he led them with the Ark of the Covenant. In the Ark was kept the Word. In the Ark, the Word was with his people. And in the Ark, he led them through the River Jordan. And the waters of the Jordan parted, just like they had at the Red Sea. And Israel walked into the Promised Land on dry ground. The one who John proclaims is also the Word with his people. Not the Word in the Ark of the Covenant, but the Word in the Ark of human flesh. In the Ark of his body, he now comes to you to lead you from this wilderness of death into the true promised land. The blood that covers this ark is the blood that covers his body, his blood poured out on the mercy seat for you and for the forgiveness of your sins. In the ark of his body, he now leads us. He doesn't open the waters of the Jordan and lead us into the promised land of Canaan. He does much more. He opens our very graves themselves and leads us into the promised land that is the new heavens and earth. The one who comes after the ark is greater than the ark. He is God with us, and God knows we need him. Need him to draw near to us. Because when the going gets tough, we get going too, usually away from God. Like Naaman the leper, we have nowhere else to turn. And yet still we turn our backs on him. Like Naaman's leprosy, the foulness of our sins, the mortality of our flesh is too much to bear. But like Naaman, we also find it hard to believe that God's answer lies in a washing of plain old water. So your Lord draws near. And what he did for Naaman, he also does for you. Through the mouth of one of Naaman's foolish servants, God called Naaman back to the River Jordan to be washed, to be cleansed. And so too, through the mouth of one of God's foolish servants, your pastor, he calls you back to the baptismal font to see where you are cleansed, to the sevenfold washing that cleanses you from even the foulest sins, to the sevenfold washing that prepares your flesh for resurrection from the dead. Through the prophet Elijah, God washed Naaman clean, but the one who comes after Elisha is greater than Elisha. It is the Christ himself who washes you. The voice of John thundered over the Jordan. Prepare the way of Yahweh. Make his path straight. For the one who comes after John is Yahweh himself. Yahweh in human flesh. Yahweh, come to save you. He who parted the Red Sea and the Jordan will have his own flesh parted by nail and spear, and from his flesh pours out for you a river of redemption and a Red Sea of his atoning blood. He who washed Naaman clean now washes you with the water and blood that flow from his spear-pierced side. Yes, under plain old water from a plain old font, Yahweh pours out the fullness of his grace upon you. John baptizes only with water, but here Jesus baptizes you with his Holy Spirit and with all his life-giving gifts. For a greater than John is here, the one who fulfills the law and the prophets is here. Your sins are forgiven. Yahweh is with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.